The second scripture this morning is from Matthew 5, 14 through 16, up on the screen or in your pew Bible, 958. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Deb. Sometimes a message is inspired by reading a certain scripture during the week. Sometimes it's inspired by maybe something one of you have said during that week, or something that you sent to me. Sometimes it's inspired by maybe an article that I read in a magazine or something. This morning's message, and actually this mini-series I want to do, has been inspired by one of those articles I read. I want to at least acknowledge the author of the article, a one-page article where a gentleman by the name of Dr. Mascala at Andrews University talks about good deeds. And he basically says, are good deeds really good, with a question mark? And then he gives five reasons, and I'm not sure if I'm going to do 5 weeks with this. A couple of the reasons kind of overlap with each other, but I am going to share a few weeks here about that. Because, you know, in a church such as this, where I so many times will emphasize to you that we are saved by grace, not by works. And that's an absolute truth of Scripture. And I want you to know from the get-go, there is nothing that you can do to earn salvation. There's absolutely nothing that you can do to earn salvation. And that's scriptural. In Ephesians 2, 8, 9, it says that. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And even faith itself is a gift of God, lest we think it's works and we boast. But in saying that, I think sometimes in churches such as these, where we are trying to speak the truth of the gospel and the truth of God's word, that we sometimes end up diminishing good works. And so I want to talk about that, and what purpose do good works serve? Because a lot of us might say, well, you know, if I'm saved by grace, then who really cares what I do, because it doesn't earn me my salvation. Christ has done that on the cross at Calvary. Thanks be to God. But I want to talk about this and give you reasons and give me reasons. Why then do we? It should be simple enough for me and you. The only reason I need is because I'm grateful. That's the only reason I need, is because I'm grateful for what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross at Calvary. I'm just grateful. Because I'm grateful, I want to do whatever I can to honor, glorify, and serve him. Okay, good. I thought you were turning me off for a moment there, Roger. Don't you dare do that this morning. So I want to look at that this morning. And there are five reasons why, according to this gentleman, this Dr. Mascala, that good deeds are indeed good. And there's reasons behind it. Here they are. Good deeds are not essential for salvation, but are absolutely crucial for the salvation of others. Think about that for the moment. That's the one I'm going to be dealing with this morning. Another one is our deeds reveal the quality of our relationship with God. Third, good deeds make us pleasant and easy people to live with. Think about that. Those three really deal with the reasons why are for the sake of others. You get it? The reasons why we do what we do are for the sake of others. The last two are more about our own relationship. But the fourth one is this. Good works are important for growing in and maintaining our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then the fifth one is good deeds bring a deep satisfaction and make those who do them happy. Okay? Those are the five he gives. I think I could probably come up with some other ones, too, that we probably would tag along some of these. But these are the five, and this morning I want to deal with that first one, that good deeds, they aren't essential for salvation, because what I told you before is absolutely true, but they're crucial absolutely crucial for the salvation of others. Think about this for a moment, if you would. How does "I love you" go over from an abusive spouse? Not very well, huh? Someone who is abusing you and says, "I love you," your actions, the deeds that you do, do not match what it is that you speak. Think about that for a moment and how that affects those powerful words, "I love you," in a situation where the actions don't speak. How about this? And we read about these kinds of things in the Gospels. "I care that you're hungry, but I'm not going to feed you." "I love Jesus, but I refuse to show love to you." All these are connected with a text that wasn't read this morning, but it's a text that nonetheless I want to share the last few words with you. You remember the text in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25 where he talks about the sheep and the goats. And of course, the sheep, he says, you know, "You've done all these things to people. You've gone to visit people in prison. You've fed the homeless. You've done all these kinds of things for me." And because they're thinking, "Well, what have I really done for you?" He says, "If you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me." But remember, he talks to the goats, and the goats are saying, "When have we ever, whatever. He says, "Whatever you have not done to the least of these, you have not done unto me." Now, when you look at that, then we see, if I want to show Jesus that I love him, then my life ought to show I love him by loving those that are hard to love. Right? Matthew 25, verse 44. Or the one that I hear sometimes is, "My faith is a private faith." It's a private faith. But yet in the text that was read this morning in the Gospel of Matthew, it says that we are a light. And what do we do with that light? Do we stick it under a box? Do we stick it under something? I mean, what's a light meant to be? It's meant to be something that shined in a dark place, right? And so in the text in Matthew, he tells us that our faith is not a private faith. And if I claim a faith in Jesus Christ, then by very nature, I've identified as someone. And if I've identified as someone who is in Christ, then my life needs to somehow, some way, reflect that which I profess. You see, I think there's an inherent danger in valuing good works too much when the emphasis is in the wrong place. You see, good works tend to engender pride, don't they? "Boy, I'm doing a pretty good job. Doing a better job than my neighbor is." I don't mean that literally, because I have neighbors that go here. But you know how we are. I mean, you know, I'm pretty proud of what I've just done. In fact, I don't mind if a bunch of people know about it, because it just kind of makes me feel good. And you know how we are about good works. Good works are done, and then we feel good about that good work, and then it tends to bring what? It tends to bring pride, and that can be a dangerous thing. And pride tends to lift up self, doesn't it? And when pride lifts up self, who gets left out of that? There are two that get left out of that. One is Jesus, and the other is others. The very two things that Christians we are to lift up are the very two things that get left out, right? We're to glorify God, we're to glorify Christ, and we're to be there for others. And good works done for the wrong reasons can tend to make both ends of that devoid. We've got to be careful of that. That's when the Pharisee complex begins, isn't it? You know, the Pharisees were, you know, it was all about what you looked like. Didn't even matter, even though Jesus was sharing with them, you know, you the outside of the bowl looks pretty clean, but the inside's pretty nasty. And sometimes you and I, all we care about is how we present ourselves to others. And I've told you all along in my 13 years, almost 13 years of ministry here, I want a church that's transparent. I want a church that says, "You know what, I look ugly sometimes on the inside, and I want you to pray for me. I'm making a mess of my life right now, and I want you to pray for me." And so others in the church wouldn't point and say, "Boy, she's one crafty dude, isn't he? Or she is, whoo boy, if you know what she's really doing. No, instead we would wrap our arms around them literally, and we would pray for them and say, you know what, I get in stuck messes sometimes too, and I want you to pray for me. And we would be a church that would be as transparent as a family ought to be. When one's hurting, everybody's gathering around and helping them out. You know? And yet pride gets in the way of that. And our misunderstanding of where good works fit get in the way of that. Because you see, good works in this reason number one are not about salvation, have nothing to do with that. But they're absolutely crucial for the salvation of others. They're looking at us, folks. They're looking at us. If you claim to be a Christian, then guess what? People are looking at us. And they're wondering, what's it mean to be a Christian? Yeesh, that puts a heavy on you, doesn't it? Puts a heavy on me. Well, I'm glad it does. Because I think even though I know I'm saved by grace, I need to be reminded that my life should be a reflection of Jesus Christ as best I can. Thank God, though, when we slip and fall and fail, remind yourself of the one thing. He loves me anyway. He saved me anyway. But he wants me to get back on board to do things that bring honor and glory and praise to him. So how do we deflect from this inherent danger of good works being so important and becoming more self-consuming? How do we deflect from this inherent danger? Remember one thing. It's always about them and him. It's never about me. Remember that one thing. It is always about him and them. It's never about me. If we could remember that one thing, I think it would help us 99.99% of the time. And doing things for the right reason. It's all about him and it's all about them. It's not about me. We forget that one. Number two, 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells me that if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, then I am an ambassador. That's what it says. We are ambassadors. And what do ambassadors do? What do ambassadors do? If you're an ambassador from the United States to another country, you're presenting your own country in the best light you possibly can, right? As flawed as we might be, that's what you do. You go to the other country and you reflect back on your own country and say, you know, the United States is a great place to live. It's a very generous country. We have freedoms there and all that sort of thing. And we want to hook up with you as another country. And we think maybe we can mutually benefit each other, blah, 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 blah. Well, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So who are we supposed to lift up? Hey, good. Everybody gets an A for the day. That's who we're supposed to lift up is Jesus Christ. If we are what the Bible says we are in 2 Corinthians 5:20, then you and I are ambassadors. And if we're ambassadors, he's calling us to be good ones. Ones that lift him up. Ones that emulate him. And I would go so far as to say this too, because throughout the Gospels, the same thing is shared. And also in the letters of Paul as well. Even if you and I have scars, we need to promote how he heals. What I'm getting at here this morning is the fact, folks, that some of us feel unworthy to be ambassadors. Because we've got a bunch of scars. You don't know my past. You don't know what I've done. Some of these things might be hidden. Things that you've done in years past that no one else knows about it, but God knows about it, and you know about it, and you feel guilty about it, and all those kinds of things. And so you feel because of the scars that you have, you can't be a very good ambassador. I would venture to say just the opposite. Who was it in the book of Revelations, by the way, that we look at, the Lamb of God, that when he was looked at, and John says there was a lamb there, and it looked as if he'd been slain. So he saw Jesus with the scars after the fact. Why? Maybe to remind him of the fact that this one who has scars died on the cross at Calvary and rose again. For him. And for those who would look at this lamb, who also, when he looked again, he became the lion. I think that's kind of cool, by the way. But the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. I mean, this one who had scars. And you and I, in our lives, sometimes we have scars. But I can say, you look at those scars and say, God can take those scars, wherever those scars may be, and say, you know, it reminds us, and we can tell the story to others, God took me from here Some of those scars aren't physical. Some of those scars are unseen, but they can be shared. That God can take the scars that you had and make something beautiful out of them. Right? So you can be an ambassador for Him. You can do good works for Him, even though you may have a past that is so scarred. Some people need to see those scars so they know that God can save them as well. Because you know, there are a lot of people I can't reach that you can reach. You've got scars I didn't have. I've got scars you don't have. And you can reach people for Christ with your scars. And I say, praise be to God for the scars, because the scars remind us where we are, where we were, and where God has taken us, because He's healing. He's healing. Even if we fail, we need to promote how He helps us succeed. You see, good works, again, are not about us. They're about Him, and they're about them. Remind yourself of that. These are ways in which you and I can deflect from this inherent danger of doing the good works to build me up. You know, if we claim, and I'm going to close with this, if we claim Christ, we also claim a responsibility. And that sometimes gets forgotten. If you and I claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we also claim a responsibility. Ephesians 2:8-9 talked about if by grace we are saved by grace through faith, and even faith is a gift of God. Verse 10 of that text says we are His workmanship, created in Him to do good works, which He has prepared for us in advance to do. Ah, okay. So that's also a part of living in Jesus Christ, because we are His workmanship. And you know, if you're His workmanship, I think of workmanship. I saw on Facebook just a little bit earlier about a little bird, Jerry, that you had made for the Thompson home. And we saw that on Facebook. And I've got a bird in the office, too, that you made, too. The workmanship of that little bird is so precise and so good. It looks like a real bird. It was your workmanship. Now, you and I are God's workmanship. We can present the good news of Jesus Christ in a healthy and godly and good kind of way by the works that we do for His glory, because we are His workmanship. And the reason why we do that, and that's reason why number one is, as I said, it's not about salvation for us. That's already been taken care of. It's crucial for the salvation of others. Why do we do what we do? So that others may know that this is real, that this is genuine, that this is life-changing, that this is God-emulating, that this is genetically altering. Remember, genetically altering? We are new creatures in Jesus Christ, just so you know. And it's eternally affecting stuff. Remember that. This is crucial for the salvation of others. So, one reason why good works should be a very important part of our life in Jesus Christ. Not for brownie points, but so that others will come to Him. Let's pray. God, thank You. Thank You for this gentleman that just pointed out in an article these reasons why good works play a role. And sometimes we downplay it in the church, because we want everybody to know it is by grace we have been saved through faith, and it has nothing to do with good works. And that is an absolute truth. There's nothing wrong with that statement. It is absolutely true. But in so doing, sometimes we downplay our gratitude to You and living out our lives, doing the things You've called us to do, because others will notice, and at some point they may too come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. God, speak to our hearts about where we have failed You. Lord, help us to realize that even though we have scars, those scars can be the very things that are used to reach other people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank You, for it's in His precious, holy, and wonderful name we do pray. Amen.